This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 4, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare," I want you to see that, "the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God." Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. To the pulling down of strongholds. Let us pray. Jesus, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I pray that you will speak to us and through us. Give your word a free course to travel, and may it find a lodging place in people's hearts. God, I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl who doesn't know you, that today they would come to know you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about our strength is in our weapons. Our strength is in our weapons. A few months ago, a college president called me at a school that I speak for, and he said, "Pastor Benny, I want you to do something for me." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "I want you to go on a bear hunt with me." And I said, "Okay," and I consented to do it. I consented, and I was excited. You know, I'm really not a hunter, but if you're going to do something, go big. Amen? I mean, I said, I'm going to do it. And I started thinking about it. One night I was in bed. This is a true story. And I started thinking about it. I'm not really a hunter. And a bear's a predator. What if the bear comes after me? I'm in a tree, but what if the bear can crawl up a tree? What if the bear come up the tree and the bear gets me? I mean, I knew I had great life insurance, but I really wasn't in a hurry to leave. Amen. I began to think about that bear. And it really got in my mind. And I knew there was a man in the church who had gone on all kinds of hunts, and he had a shooting range, and I contacted him, and I said, I want to come over to your house. And I told him about the bear hunt. He said, "Benny, a .30-06 will take care of everything in North America." I said, "So a .30-06 will kill everything in North America?" He said, "Yes, a .30-06 will take care of it." I said, "Have you got one?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Can I borrow it?" He said, "Yes, you can." He said, "Let's go down here to the shooting range." And I would go down to the shooting range, and I would shoot. And I would shoot the target. And he would say, "That's good," or, "You hit the bullseye, you didn't hit the bullseye." But my question was always the same. I said, "Listen, would that shot kill the bear? Where I hit that target, would I kill the bear?" And he said, "Yes, you would kill the bear if you hit that target." And then I said to him, "Can I take the gun home with me?" He said, "You can take the gun home, but you can't be shooting around." No, I said, no, you got to understand. I don't have to have bullets. I just want to familiarize myself with that gun. I want to know that gun. I want that .30-06 to be second nature to me. I want to know that gun inside and out. And he said, "You can do it." So I came back to the range and I said, "Can I take this gun with me to the airport?" He said, "Well, you got to get through everything." I said, "It doesn't matter. I know the scope on this gun. I'm familiar with this gun. I'm happy with this gun. If I can just take this gun, I feel a lot better going to the Canadian border with this gun, with that bear. If I can just take this gun." He said, "You take it with you." I took the gun. I got up to the Canadian border, and they said, before we put him out in the tree, he's got to go out and shoot targets. They said, "You got to take the preacher out. We're not just going to put him out in a tree. We're not going to put him out. We don't know anything about this man. We're not going to just put him out in a tree by himself." So they put me out, take me down to the target. I focus in, and they said, "Bullseye." They said, "Bullseye. The pastor can shoot." I said, "Say it again, brother. Say it again, all right. The pastor can shoot." And folks, they put me in the vehicle, tuck me to the stand, 20 feet. I get up in the stand. I load the gun, make sure the safety's in place. And I got to be honest with you. I got to be honest with you. At that point, this is how I felt.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I really did. I felt big boy pop out here and make my day, because you're going down if I see you. Now listen, I had no confidence before, but my total confidence was when I familiarized myself with the weapon. When I understood the weapon. When I got comfortable and knew I had the weapon and knew I wasn't sitting there alone in a deer stand, I mean in a bear stand late at night. When I knew the weapon's right here by my side and I'll pick it up and I'll take care of him if he comes after me. Now here's all I want to say today. We have an enemy. We have an enemy. He's a predator too. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All I want to report to you, ladies and gentlemen, is we have an enemy. And let me tell you, let me describe him a little bit to you. He's a liar. He's a liar. John 8 and 44 says he's a liar and he's the father of all liars. I want you to know the enemy will tell you lies about yourself. The enemy will tell you lies about other people. The enemy will tell you lies about God. The enemy will tell you lies about your mate. Because I want you to know he's a liar. But don't you know something else? Not only is he a liar, he's a thief. You say, what do you mean? Why, what do you mean he's a thief? Well, John 10 and 10 says this. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your purpose. He's a thief. He's not only a liar. He's not only a thief, but he's a destroyer. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, he wants to destroy your health. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy your happiness. He wants to destroy the house of worship. He wants to destroy. A.W. Tozer said, I need now to give you a warning. That warning is simple. That a spirit-filled church is the target of the enemy. A spirit-filled church is a target of the enemy. And I want to go on record by saying this is a spirit-filled church. This is a spirit-filled church. And when you're a spirit-filled church, you're going to be a target of the enemy. He knows the potential of a spirit-filled church. And that the focus of such a church is the exaltation of Jesus Christ, which the devil hates with a passion. There's a verse I want you to see. 1 Corinthians 14 and 33. For God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. Wait. God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. I wish we could realize that. Look here, folks. We live in a time when people are talking mask or no mask. And people literally are going at it in reference to mask or no mask. I wish we could realize that is the enemy playing people against one another. That is the enemy playing people against one another. Why would we break fellowship with somebody over mask or no mask? That is a tactic. That is a device of the enemy. Hey, vaccination or no vaccination? Vaccination or no vaccination? Now let me. I'll throw this injection in. I don't think we ought to be mandating anything.
forbid that we would break fellowship with somebody on the basis of whether or not they have been vaccinated or not vaccinated. God help us. That's the enemy playing us against one another. I'm 56 years old. I've never gone around asking people, did you get the flu shot? Why would we be going around asking, have you been vaccinated? No. You've been a yes? God help us. It's the enemy playing us against one another. Now look, I got that 30-06 and I realized something. I realized that that 30 represents the caliber of the bullet. But I realized that 6 represented 1906 when that gun was commissioned and introduced into the United States military. Here's all I want to say. We've got an enemy, ladies and gentlemen. We've got an enemy. He's the author of confusion. He's the author of confusion, but the good news is we've got some mighty weapons. Oh, goodness. I may just rejoice in that. Listen. We have some mighty weapons to come against the enemy. Let me give them to you right quick. I'm so excited about giving them to you. I didn't preach last Sunday, and I feel like I've been caged up. I know what you're thinking. Thank God there's an 11 o'clock service and he can't keep us all day. Let me give you some weapons. Weapon number one, the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, goodness gracious. Listen, you're no match for the devil. I'm no match for the devil, but Jesus is a match for the devil. Amen. And do you realize that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, do you realize that verse says, I'm in Christ, but Colossians 1:27 says, Christ is in me. I'm in Christ. Christ is in me. And so Romans 8:37 says, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When the enemy comes at us, we need to tell ourselves, I've got Jesus, and Jesus has got me, amen? I'm no match for the devil, but Jesus is a match for the devil, and I've got Jesus. And when Jesus gets through with the devil, his tooth fairy's going to need a wheelbarrow, amen? I want you to know something. The person of Jesus Christ, you have Jesus. You have Jesus, and you need to tell yourself, I've got Jesus. Let me tell you the second weapon. It's the precious word of God. The precious word of God. Do you know what the Bible calls? The Bible calls the word of God a weapon. Hebrews 4:12 said it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. If you remember in Matthew 4, when the enemy came against Jesus, 3 times he quoted the book of Deuteronomy. Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. I tell you what, whatever we struggle with, and by the way, we all have struggles. How many of you have a problem? Raise your hand. How many of you, if it's seated right beside you, leave it up? All right. Some of you like to, but you kind of, you know, kind of afraid, amen. Look here. Always remember this. The scripture that you memorize is the scripture you will utilize. The scripture you memorize is the scripture you'll utilize. You say, Pastor, I really struggle with pornography. Is that right? Job 3:1 would be a wonderful scripture to memorize. It'd be a wonderful scripture that I've made a covenant with my eyes on what I'm going to look on. You say, well, Pastor, my struggle's lust.
James 1:15 would be a wonderful one. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin, it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Look here, you can lust, but I want you to know something. It's going to kill things in your life. It's going to kill things in your relationship. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin's finished, it bringeth forth death. Pastor, I just worry all the time. Worry's like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't take you anywhere. Worry won't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It will empty today of its strength. What do I need to memorize, Pastor? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pastor, with all this going on, my situation is fear. What do you recommend for me? 2 Timothy 1 and 7. God's not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God hadn't given you the spirit of fear. You say, well, mine is greed. Mine is greed. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10. He that loveth silver should not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Listen, folks, if wealth would satisfy, the Rockefellers would have quit at the first million. You say, well, Pastor, mine is, I'm such a people pleaser. Well, Proverbs 29 and 25 says, the fear of man bringeth the snare. I don't know what the secret to success is, but I know what the secret to failure is. That's trying to please everybody. Here's what I would say to you. Whatever you struggle with, get that verse. Carry it with you. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your phone. Make sure you're looking at it often. I'll tell you what a weapon is when the enemy comes at you. The person of Jesus, the precious word of God. There's a third weapon. The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 59, 19 says this. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. I want you to know something, folks. Unless there is within us that which is above us, we'll soon yield to that which is around us. Here's what I want to challenge you with. When we give more of ourselves to God, we get more of the power of God and the Spirit of God in our lives. When we give more of ourselves to God, we get more of the power of God and the Spirit of God in our lives. You say, Pastor, it's not that simple. I beg to differ. Luke 11 and 13 says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Don't tell me we can't ask the Heavenly Father for more of his Spirit and more of his power and not receive it, because the Bible says we can. And folks, you can't overcome in your own strength. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let me give you a fourth weapon that you need to pick up. And I'd never thought about this till this week. It's the power of expressing thanks. The power of expressing thanks. I want you to look at, I'm going to put the verse right there and I'm going to point it. We're going to read it. Deuteronomy 28 verse 47. Look what it says. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God. Wait. With joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of things. Now wait. He said, because you're not thankful, because you don't serve the Lord, he said to Israel, with joyfulness and gladness of heart for all the abundance of things. I wonder right now, folks, maybe part of what we're going through that describes. Maybe part of what we're struggling with that describes. Because instead of being humbly grateful for how good God's been to us, many times we're grumbly hateful. Now look what the next verse says.
Therefore, shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. He'll put a yoke of iron upon your neck until you have destroyed thee. He said to Israel, listen, because you didn't have a thankful heart, the Assyrians and the Babylonians are going to overtake you. Here's all I'm trying to say. What will combat the enemy is when we have a thankful spirit. What will combat the enemy is when we thank God for what he's done in our lives. What will combat the enemy is when we have an attitude of gratitude for all he has done for us. Jack Hinton was preaching in Tobago. He was preaching in a leper colony. And he said each night a woman would come in and she would sit right in this area and she would take her seat and turn it around and look the other direction. And Jack Hinton said, I thought, well, you heifer. And he said, the last night I got up and said, I'm going to take song selections tonight. Does anybody have a selection? And he said, when I said that, she turned around. She turned that chair around and she looked at me. And when I looked at her, leprosy had eaten her nose off. Leprosy had eaten her ears off. Her eyes were sunken in her head. She lifted her hand. And I think he said she had one finger on the hand. And she said, I have a selection. He said, what is it? She said, count your many blessings. He said, when she said that, I ran out from under the tent. A man came to me and he said, Jack, you'll never sing that song again, will you? He said, oh yeah, I'll sing it again, but I'll never sing it in the same way. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. It may surprise you what God has done. It's a weapon, folks. It's a weapon against the enemy when we thank God. There's a fifth weapon. It's prayer and fasting. It's prayer and fasting. I'm still from that old school. I'm still from that old school that I still believe in the old-fashioned way. That's who I am. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel had prayed and fasted for 21 days. And in verse 12, the angel said to Daniel, God heard you the very first day you started praying. God heard you the very first day that you prayed and fasted. But there was a war that went on in the heavenlies. The demonic angels were trying to hinder the answer from coming. And Michael, the war angel, came and defeated the demonic powers of hell. And after 21 days, the answer came. Because Daniel was faithful for 21 days not to give up. Just keep praying. Just keep fasting. What I'd say to you today, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Luke 18 and 1 says men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's a last point and I'm done. That is, a weapon is a persistent spirit. A persistent spirit. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a football fan. Boy, what a game yesterday when Tennessee beat Missouri. What a game. That's God's favorite team. You say, you don't know that, Pastor. Why'd he put that big orange ball up in the sky? It's God's favorite team. Listen. Used to be an old coach over in Auburn. His name was Shug Jordan. He was no coach. And he had an assistant, and they were recruiting players. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, let me tell you the type of player we want. He said to that assistant. He said, there's a player that you knock him down and he stays down. He said, we don't want him. He said, there's the player that you knock him down, he gets back up. You knock him down, he gets back up. You knock him down, he stays down. He said, we don't want him. But he said, there's the player that you knock him down, he gets back up. 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 He said, what? He said, coach, that's the guy we want. He said, no. We want the guy who's knocking him down. Either way, get this, folks. There's something about a persistent spirit that will put the devil on the run. There's something about it. There's something about just saying, no. We may kill one another, but we're going to stay together. There's something about just persistent. There's something about saying, no. My child's not doing what it ought to be doing, but he or she is still my child. And I'm not going to give up on them. There's something about that persistent spirit. See, where do you get this? Well, you remember the enemy comes to Jesus, and Jesus has been on a 40-day fast in Matthew chapter 4. And he said, Jesus, by the way, why don't you turn these stones into those old Charlie Rose? You say, well, the Bible doesn't say he said that. Didn't say he didn't, smart aleck. But anyways, why don't you turn it into those old Charlie Rose? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What did he do? He quoted him Deuteronomy. Then he takes Jesus up to the highest part of the temple, 450 feet, looks over the temple, looks over the Kidron Valley, and he says, Jesus, why don't you jump? Because the Bible says the angels will catch you. And Jesus said, you shouldn't tempt the Lord thy God. Quoted Deuteronomy again, by the way. And then he took Jesus to a high mountain. He said, Jesus, all this I'll give you if you'll just worship me. And Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He quoted Deuteronomy again. What if your spiritual life was connected to how well you know the book of Deuteronomy? What happened after that, Pastor? Can't wait to tell you. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. It's a persistent spirit. I'll give you something that you've probably never thought about. Maybe you have. You probably have. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Get this. In whom the God of this world. I want to ask you something. Why is God not capitalized? Because it's not talking about Yahweh. The God of this world is Satan. And you know what it says? In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. Many of you listening to me today, the reason why you're not a believer is because Satan has blinded your mind. He's told you there's no God. Pastor, I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. He's blinded your mind. He blinds our mind and says, you know, I've arrived. I've got a great education. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. The Bible says during the end times, people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He's blinded people's mind with pleasure. The next pleasurable act, sex, sin, pleasure. They're blinded by the pleasure, but their eyes are blinded. He blinds people's minds by telling them, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. But we never know
We never know when we're going to leave here. So he blinds our minds by saying, you've got plenty of time. But friend, listen, you may not have plenty of time. He blinds our minds by saying, I can't live it. You can't. It's Christ in you. He blinds our minds and he tells people, you're too bad. After all you've done, God won't forgive you. But I've got good news. Yes, he will. He blinds our minds by telling people, you're as good as so-and-so. They're just hypocrites at the church anyway. How does that change the fact that you're going to stand before God? How does that change the fact that as an individual, I'm going to stand before God? It matters not how many hypocrites they are. I'm going to stand before God for me. But the devil wants to blind our minds.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rocksprings.online.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.